Don't look at the storm, guys. All right, let's go to talking about storms. Matthew 14, 30, 31. This is going to be our first lesson, faith lesson for this year. And let's read. Go ahead and read that. Looking at the storms. Hallelujah. But when he saw the wind boisterous, when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified. This is Matthew 14, 30 and 31, reading the New Living Translation. He was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. This is Peter. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? I want you to notice particularly some of the words that we'd like to maybe talk more about. It says here in the verse 30 that he saw the strong wind and waves. And notice what happened when he looked at the waves and the wind. He said he was terrified. The result is that he began to sink, and then his soul cried out to God, Jesus, save me, Lord. And this is very typical of anyone who has something that comes up quickly in their lives that really takes them off course. And of course, these guys, you have to understand, Peter wasn't perfect. He started out with Jesus, and he's been being taught by the Lord. He's traveled with Jesus. He saw him do miracles. He saw his great sermons, saw his preaching, saw his teaching. He saw the gifts of the Spirit. You know, all these things are wonderful. And watching other people do miracles, watching other people preach, watching everybody else give testimony. But it doesn't do you any good except maybe encourage you a little bit to get on board too. I know when you go to maybe a service where people are getting healed, you get encouraged, you get excited about things. And I believe this is what happened to Peter. You know, the Bible says that, he saw the wind and he saw the waves. Well, he saw the results of the wind, and he began to be fearful. You know, the more we look at something that is, scary, we'll get scared. But the more you look at something, it gets in you. You know, that's the way it is. Your eyes will imprint that in your spirit. The more you look at something, the bigger the problem is. And that's why focusing on why meditation is so effective. When you deliberately focus on something good from the scripture and you look at it and you talk about it to yourself, speak to yourself about it, it gets imprinted on the inside of you. You know, hearing, faith comes by hearing. And that's why you speaking God's word to yourself, you can encourage yourself in faith and build your faith up by hearing yourself say the word. And it also does something else, which it changes your mind. It renews your mind as you speak the word. And that's what's effective about praise and worship Sunday morning. And that's why it's so important to sing the right words in a song. Because when you're singing the song, it's doing a number of things. Not only is God's anointing there, but it's also clearing your mind up when you're singing the right songs, hearing yourself sing the right songs. You don't even notice it's happening to you. It's like giving somebody medicine. They don't know it's working at the time, but it's working in them. It's also building faith in them. And then you're getting to a place, good praise and worship gets you to a place where you can receive the word of God. And the next verse said that, when we say something, God's always there. He's Jehovah Shammah. Psalm 46 said, Jesus, God, Holy Spirit, God Almighty, He's always present. Holy Spirit is present here. God is here right now. He's no more or less here than He is anywhere else in any other church. You can take the biggest evangelist in the world. God is just as much here in this session as He is in any other ministry, in any other service in the world right now. He's all God, all powerful. He's not less up here than He is anywhere else. His power is here. God's power is here. Not anywhere less than anywhere else in the world. He's Jehovah Shammah. And the power of God, we make the power of God work by our response to Him. What we say, what we do. Glory to God. Amen. So it says Jesus reached out to him immediately. You know, when we cry out to God, God reaches out immediately to us. And sometimes we don't respond the way, because we don't believe, we continue to scream and yell. And he grabbed him. How would you like God to grab you? Amen. You know, we're saying, Brother Bruce saying, Jesus got a hold of me. Holy Ghost got a hold of me. Anybody was here on Wednesday night? How many of you enjoyed that Wednesday night service? It was wonderful. I just enjoyed it. Amen. We're going to hold that every Wednesday from now on. I was thinking about holding, you know, maybe an addictions service once a month. And we'll do some, you know, reaching out over there. So, I mean, it's a good idea, isn't it? You know, good ideas don't always work, but you can try something. He said, you have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? Well, you know, little faith actually it's a faith that doubts God, right? You believe. There's a story in the Bible where a man brought, his little son to the disciples. You know, Jesus had given authority to his disciples to cast devils out and heal the sick. He gave his disciples, his apostles, those 12 guys he called. He said, you know, you guys go out and do what I do, cast devils out and perform these things, preach the gospel, preach the kingdom of God. And they went out and they came across this one man who had this boy had a demon who was trying to get him to commit suicide. And, sometimes there's a spirit involved in committing suicide. And you can't counsel those out by a professional. You need the Holy Ghost. And so how do you know? Because I know, because I've been there. I've talked to these devils. They said they talked to you, and you were able to cast them out. So I was talking to, let's go back to the story here. So this guy brought his child to the disciples, and they couldn't cast him out. They couldn't cast the devil out. So there was big commotion, and Jesus come there and said, what's going on here? He said, well, this guy says, I tried to bring my child to your disciples, to your workers, and they couldn't help me out. Remember that Jesus already told them to do it, and they couldn't do it. And they didn't. So anyway, Jesus said, well, how long has this happened to him? Well, Jesus had a conversation with him. You know, it's okay to talk to someone before you pray for them and find out all you can about them so that you know how to minister to somebody. So he talked to them, and he said, well, this happened to my child since he was a small infant. The spirit was there. I don't know how it happened, but that spirit had entered that boy, and he tried to commit suicide. He jumps in the water, tried to drown him. He tried to put him in the fire, tried to burn him, and did all kinds of things to kill this boy. And that man says, I tried to bring this up to your disciples, but they couldn't do it. So Jesus casts the spirit out of that person. And he said, if you can do anything for my son, if you can do anything for us, help us. And Jesus says, if you read that, scripture and study it a little bit, he said, it's not what I can do. It's what you believe about it. He says, if I can do anything about it, all along he's been casting devils out. You know, so how many times we ask God, Lord, if you can do anything about it, and you're putting all emphasis on God, and God's told you to do something, to believe God for your healing, to believe God for anything else going on in your life, and he's telling you, all things are possible to him who has faith. Amen. So I want to talk to you about faith today. Is that okay? Yes. So just a little bit about that, encourage you. So here's the idea I want to put across to you this morning. This is the main punch. You can go home after this and you get the whole point right across. The main point is, the main point is that concentration on sense knowledge evidence will sink you. Focusing your attention on the problem, on a bad situation, will defeat you every time. Focusing on problems will defeat you. And here, Peter focused on the wind, the immediate surrounding. He focused on the waves. In other words, he focused on circumstances and situations that's coming against him. And very often we focus on the situation and we're getting defeated because we're sinking into the problem more and more. And he says, the Bible says he began to be terrified. The more you look at a problem, the more terrified you get. And we shouldn't be fearful. You know, the psalmist says, I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will not fear. And you see that over and over in every verse of scripture. Isaiah 41:10, you know, talks about in there that I will not fear. God says, do not fear. I'm with you. I wonder if he's with us today. Is God with us today?
Amen.
You know, I don't, you know, sometimes I get terrified of different things myself, especially when I look at in the mirror. Good morning. Who's that guy? He's an old man. I've been living with an old man. You know? Put my glasses on. You know, your teeth. Hearing aids. You know, your monitor. I mean, you're getting old. But, we concentrate so much on things outside of our control. But we can control different things by focusing on the right thing, right? I can't control what another person does, but I can control what I can do, right? So here's something you could remember. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, verse 4 and 5, I'm reading the New Living here. It says, every child of God defeats this evil world. Now, I know the King James says, this is the victory that overcomes the world. That's what the King James says. This is the victory that overcomes the world. And that word world doesn't mean the physical cosmos, or what do you call that word? The actual Greek word there is terra firma, I guess it is. The world, the actual physical earth. He's not talking about that. This is a victory that overcomes the world. He's talking about the system in which the devil is lord over. Where the devil is lord. You know, the Bible says that, you know, we always remember these scriptures. I know in here, some of us remember 2 Corinthians 4:4, that Satan is the god of this world. He's the god of this system. How did he get that? He got it from Adam, right? Because in the fourth chapter of Luke, when he went to tempt Jesus, he says, all this is mine. He's telling Jesus that. He's telling the creator of the world this. He's telling the devil, says, all this is mine. I'll give it to you if you worship me. Because that's been delivered unto me. Well, who delivered to him? Adam delivered to him. And we see different terms in the scripture. In the 12th chapter, I believe, verse 30 of John, he says that, he's the prince of this world. In the second chapter of Ephesians, verse 2, he's a prince and power of the air. Satan is. You know, he's there doing different things. And a lot of times when things happen, people say, they think it's God doing it. So insurance says it's an act of God. Well, it's true in one sense because he's the God of this world. Satan is. But it's the wrong God. And they were saying, you know, somebody said, where was God when this was happening? Where was God when that happened? Well, he's always there. But God has given people freedom of choice. You can do something right now that's terrible, and you'll have a choice. You can go home right now. Like somebody said, Pastor Ken can jump on his car and go and steal. Somebody said, like a Brother Hagin, he said, drive in your car and steal at the filling station. Gas up and leave, right? But you have that right, but you shouldn't do it, right? So as we carry on here, when you focus on the wrong thing, the evil thing, the bad thing, the thing gets worse and better in terms of bigger and bigger. So every child of God, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, it says that every child of God defeats this evil world. How can we defeat what's going around us, the evil that's going around us, and the activities, the circumstances coming against us? We're told that we're kings and priests. You know, isn't it Romans 5, 17 says we're kings of this world. We rule as kings. That's what it says. And the king rules by what he says, right? So, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, the King James says. Our faith, even our faith. So what's going to help us overcome is our faith. Jesus said, he was looking for faith with this man. He said, where's your faith? You have little faith. So the Bible says we must fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6 and 12 says, in this life, we must fight the good fight of faith. And this faith, the devil is after your faith. He always will try to dissuade you to walk by faith, to act in faith, so that he knows if you do walk by faith, you will defeat him every time. And he's after every one of us to get off faith. He wants to get you so mad, so resentful, so full of self-pity that you'll not focus on the right thing. You get mad at the person, you get mad at everything else, but instead you should be focusing on, I'm going to use my faith. You know? And so this is how we're going to win the battle. Because the Bible tells us right here, right? And who can win this battle against the world? This system, the world is being controlled by. You know, also you see in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. Let's put it up there. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. And says this. I want to show you something because this is so important for us to recognize because Jesus rebuked the wind. Well, God wasn't causing those things to happen to these people, try to drown them. The evil was trying to do it. You know, all these, I don't think all these bad, you know, I mean, you think about it, on the highway, there's people having accidents on the highway. We need to pray and believe God to stay on the road that nobody's going to hit you. Amen. These trucks are not going to hit you. Pray for you'll have a safe journey, right? Yes. And yet there's all kinds of stuff going on. There's all kinds of bad things going on in the world. But here it says, we know that we are children of God and that the world around us is under the control of the evil one. That's the devil. So not everybody is under the power of God, being led by the power of God. You think the maniac on the highway, he's supposed to be going 40 when he's going 80? Somebody said, you know, who's controlling him? His foot. He says, my foot likes to go fast. But so the devil is there. He's doing things, and he can get on people, encourage people to do wrong. Let's go here. So it says in 1 Timothy 1, 6, 12, it says, fight the good fight in this life. One of the biggest hindrances to walking by faith and when we focus on sense knowledge evidence rather on Bible evidence. Everybody say Bible evidence. So we need to focus on Bible evidence. We have natural knowledge and spiritual knowledge before us. Most of the time we need to walk by natural knowledge, but there are times when we must walk by spiritual knowledge, especially when it contradicts Bible faith. For instance, if someone told you, the medical says that you have 1 month to live, what you gonna do? You know, you're gonna have to do something. You're gonna have to believe God, right? So none of us ever think about that. We don't ever get ready for the day of battle. We should be getting ready every day, not just when you have a conflict or a bad day or a bad situation where I got to start praying really hard now. I got to start building up my faith now. Since I got this trouble. No, if you build your faith every day, 2 minutes a day, 5 minutes a day, every day, build your faith every day, when the trouble comes, you're going to be ready. Amen. And if you pray every day, every morning, every afternoon, you pray every day, then you're going to be ready for the trouble. God's going to show you that there's something coming up there. You need to get yourself strong, get this scripture here. He'll talk to you. And you're ready. When the trouble comes, you say, I'm ready. You don't just jump out of bed and start racing down the road in the morning, right? No, you get ready to go for exercising, right? So, are you still here this morning? Okay, so we all face storms in life, don't we? You think there's going to be any storms in 2024, or is it going to be wonderful every day? Every weekend is going to be wonderful, your job, everybody's going to love you, and you know, someone told me the other day, kind of funny, they were bugging me for a long, long time. Every time they come to town, they're asking me money. Every time they break down, they ask me money. Every time they run out of gas, ask me money. I said, don't you plan your trips? So I said, no, I'm not going to do it. You find another way. Every time you come to town, you don't have enough money, go back home. I'm like, why is that? I said, no. So you go find somebody else this time because I'm not doing it anymore. Because I'm just perpetuating their thing, you know. So anyway, that person, I'm not mentioning you. If you're watching, I'm not mentioning your name. They called me, sent me a message last night, and said, you failed the test. I didn't know I was being tested on these things, but anyway. So I failed the test. So we need to focus on the right thing when trouble comes, right? So if we focus on the right thing every day, not just when the burglar is coming in through the window downstairs. My wife says, you know, we have a two-story building. We got a basement there, a full basement. So if I said, okay, I'm going to go to push, and I'm going to exercise, learn how to have self-defense, and I'll be back. It's too late. It's too late to have self-defense lessons. The guy's coming in, his feet is inside my house. He's got a big axe and he's got a, you know. So if I was prepared and did my exercises, you know. Right? I would be ready. Or... I'm ready, right? So you have to be ready every day. Think about it this way. Jesus said that. Read Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said, before the storm comes, you need to be building your foundation. If you build your foundation, you're working on your foundation regularly, when the storm comes, you'll still be standing. You know? So we are going to continue. I want to encourage you to continue to pray. Read your Bible. I always tell you, I read my Bible Every year since 1998, I read my Bible through every year. We're on my 13th day last night. My wife and I were in our bed reading the Bible. Since 1998, me and her. That's pretty good, isn't it? Most couples are fighting. And so we read the Bible every day, every night, building a foundation. It doesn't mean we never got attacked. It didn't mean nothing bad happened to us. It meant that, if I'm going to go through a battle, I'll make sure I'm ready. Amen. So anyway, I want to say that not because I'm showing off and how wonderful we are as a couple. I think every couple should be wonderful, and they should do this something like this and ensure themselves that they can stay strong together, right? It's just that this is showing you there's a principle there. That's all I'm doing. I'm not saying I'm wonderful. Oh, look at me. Worship me. Okay. Okay, Joanne, you be careful there. Hebrews 11, 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I got a few more minutes left. I see people leaving here. Are you still okay? Is this okay? I'm just trying to, be be regular guy like you. Okay? We're talking here, and we're talking about this 2024. How is it going to be this year? How is it going to be this year, 2024? Is it going to be wonderful? Okay. But even if things come bad, it's going to still be wonderful. Right? We don't care about the devil, what he's going to do. But we care about what we're going to do. And God's always wonderful. Right? So, Hebrews 11, I'm reading the New Living Translation. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. Now the King James says, faith is the evidence. What kind of evidence is it? Well, it's the evidence of what you're hoping for. It's the reality of what you're hoping for. Hope is over there. You want to get to that goal. But faith will get you there. You need to have hope. You got to have a goal. Hope always is a goal, right? Hope is always the goal. You're going to get there. But I'm going to get there. But faith, it's the evidence. Faith is the evidence, or faith is the reality of what we hope for. Notice it's the evidence of things we cannot see. So when you get the Word of God, it's the evidence of what you're hoping for. It's a reality. What you're hoping for is real. You might not be here yet, but you got to get the Word to show you the evidence. When you go to the court, right? I know there's some people here work in court. And you got to have evidence, right? To show you need evidence. You can't just convict somebody without no evidence because we don't like you. I don't like this guy. Let's convict him. He's looked at me funny. Yeah. So when we look at sense knowledge to figure out if God's word is working or if it's true, we're bound to fail. God is still working on our behalf even when things don't look like he is. Our natural senses may indicate to us that things are not working out because on the surface it doesn't seem like what you ask God to do or what you believe in God to do is not working out. Hebrews 11 says that faith is, or the word of God, is the evidence of things we can't see. The word faith is synonymous with the word of God because that's how you get faith, is the word of God. In Peter's case, he sank into the water even though he had a word from Jesus. You could, Brother Egan used to tell us, you could die with healing in your heart. And you could have a dream in your heart and never fulfill that dream, even though it's legitimately in your heart. You got to get that word out. You got to get that out of you. Put into operation. And here's something else that will help you. Faith will work in your heart with doubt in your head. That helped me so many times. You can be doubting all you want. feeling all kinds of feelings, you tell yourself, listen, I'm in faith. Faith's working right now. I'm working it. I don't care how I feel. The Word of God is working in me right now, and it's coming to pass because I have God's Word for it. You'll never stop doubt from coming in your head. But you don't have to act on it. You don't have to act like it. You don't have to say it. Don't say it. Here's something else somebody said over there. What is that thing? I forget how to say it, but like you don't have to confess something, even though it's true, right? You don't have to talk about it. If you're sick, don't talk about it so much. Just talk about healing. You know, so, you know, Jesus walks on water. So let's pick up our story here from Matthew's gospel, where Jesus walked on the water during the night to go see his disciples at 3 a.m. in the morning, the Bible says. This happened during a raging storm. They were all on board at sea. He went there to help them. You know that God is always interested in helping you, keeping you safe and peace and during stormy times. In this situation, we can find comfort and learn some faith lessons about faith and spiritual growth. Let's pick it up for verse 22 of Matthew chapter 14 to verse 31, the New Living Translation I'm going to read here. So, it says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat across to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. Verse 23. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Verse 24. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. Verse 25 says, about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them walking on the water. Well, that's something. Verse 26. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In fear, they cried out, it's a ghost. I mean, you think about it. If you saw somebody walking on the water, you said, what is this? This is the devil? I mean, that's the first thing people would think, right? They would say, oh, God's here. Oh, God's here. So, verse 27 says, Jesus spoke to them at once. He says, don't be afraid. He said, take courage. I'm here. Verse 28 says, Peter called out to him, the Lord, is it really you? Tell me to come to you walking in the water. Yes, come, verse 29 says, Jesus said, Peter went over to the other side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. Notice this. Peter walked on the water because Jesus says, come. If Jesus told you come to walk on water, you could walk on water. But he never told you to walk on water, so you're going to sink. Okay, so he had the word of God. He had the rhema word. Verse 30 says, but when he saw a strong wind, instead of listening to Jesus, he saw the strong wind and the waves. He was terrified, began to sink. So he acted on how he felt rather than what he believed and what he heard, what Jesus said. Save me, he shouted. So save me is not very confident, is it? You can tell where his faith's at, right? So your words reveals where your faith's at, right? So Jesus immediately reached out his hand, grabbed him. He said, you have so little faith. Why did you doubt me? Remember about doubt? Doubt one day, you're in. Next day, you're out. One day, you're in. You're in and out. You're in and out. You're in and all the time. So James clarifies that as James chapter 1. Says that a man who is doubt is like the waves of the sea. He's up and down. He's up and down. He's up and down. One day, oh, man, God's wonderful. Isn't he great? Isn't God wonderful? Then while he's going, oh, where are you, God? So, no, he's always the same, right? So walking on water is not normal, right? But you can if you have to, right? So normally we humans, we can't walk on water and to defy the laws of nature, only if God would allow it. We don't have the capacity to defy the laws of nature or gravity. In some cases where God suspends the laws, he can do it to help us. This would be called a miracle. He did that for the Israelites when they crossed the Red Sea. And he made also an axe head. There was the axe head. An axe head float to help a servant through through his prophet Elisha. Here we see axe heads don't float on water. Normally, you throw an axe head on the water, it'll sink. But in this case, axe head was able to float. 2 Kings chapter 6, 1-7. Look at this. So I'm showing you this because if God needs to help you in a certain case, he will help you. Even in situations that are really bad. So one day, it says here, 2 Kings 6, 1-7, one day a group of prophets came to Elisha and told him, "As you see, this place where we meet is with you is too small. So let's go down to the Jordan River where there are plenty of logs. There we can build a new place for us to meet." "All right," he told him, "go ahead." "So please come with us," someone suggested. "I will," he said. So he went with them. When they arrived at the Jordan, they began cutting down trees. As one of them was cutting a tree, his axe head fell into the river. "Oh, sir," he cried. "It was a borrowed axe." "Where did it fall?" the man of God asked. When he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it into the water at that spot. And the axe head floated to the surface. "Well, that's not normal." "Grab it," Elisha said. The man reached out and grabbed it. So, just like Peter, this is not a normal situation, but God was able to help. And so this is what we all like to live like. Right? We all want to walk by water. We all want to walk. We all want to see the axe head swim. I know one time somebody said they lost their watch in the water, but it didn't swim. Anybody ever lost a ring or something in the water and you couldn't find it? Anybody? Yeah? Yeah. So, here, Peter asked Jesus a question, and Jesus accommodated him and said, come to me. And then he saw the raging winds here. Peter walked on the water. You know, that's a miracle. And we wouldn't think so much of Jesus walking on water, but that's also a miracle that Jesus walked on the water. That's miraculous. But we would say, "Oh, Jesus can do it." Yeah, but he's a man anointed by God, called by God. And he showed us. Was Jesus doing it to show off? "Look at guys, I'm walking on water." "Da da 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 da, Peter, you can do this. Doubting Tom, you can do this." Was he doing that to show off?
No,
he's showing them something. He's going to walk over there. He was over there praying. He comes over there. He sends them away, and he walks on the water. Well, some people said Jesus is showing off here. Well, he's not showing off. He's showing us what to do. So, in 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says here, this is a principle we want to pick out here. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. What cannot be seen? Your answer cannot be seen, perhaps. How can you look at something you can't see? It's through the lenses of the Bible, the scriptures. You have what the Bible says belongs to you. It says in the scripture. I was reading yesterday the book of Galatians. And I read even last night in my devotions that God told, there was a discussion there about Jacob and Abraham and all that. He says, everything that God promised Abraham, telling this to Jacob, it belongs to you. Everything belongs to you. What God promised him, it belongs to you. So it also belongs to us, what God said. So we're, and you read the scripture, it says, we are the real children of Israel by faith. We're the real Israelites. So we need to, look at the Word of God and see what it says this year. What does God's Word say this year? Well, it says a lot of things, but what does it say for you? We all have different situations that we're believing. And Even if it didn't came to pass this year, you're still going to believe. But it's coming. Whatever you believe in God is coming. Right? We're expecting it. Every time a call comes, it says, oh, yeah, is that so-and-so? No, it's not him. Okay, well, it's coming. So you're looking forward for God to meet your need. And whatever it is, you know, one day you just all of a sudden realize, hey, I can bend my back, no problem. Oh, wow. I've been standing on faith for a long time. Oh, my knee is good. Oh, what's happened here? Eh? Yeah? And I noticed that I'm not as mad anymore as I used to be with people. I'm not as depressed anymore. What happened? Well, God healed you. Eh? I don't feel sorry for myself like I used to. I can do these things like I did. So, in Peter's case, what sank him? He sank. He looked at the wrong thing. So I want you to focus this year on focusing on the right thing, looking at the right thing. What is the right thing? What does the Word say? You know, don't just go and call your friend. Ask yourself what God's Word. Now, if you're going to ask about Scripture, yeah, go and do that. You know, so we need to figure out what we need to do first. And Jesus said, "Where's your faith? Focus your faith in the right place." So it's a walk of faith. You know, fix your eyes on Jesus. The Bible says that we have to focus our attention on the right thing and pay attention. So let's read this last scripture here, Proverbs 4:20-23. He says, "My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep in your heart." You know we can read a scripture. Maybe it didn't register enough in their spirit because we didn't meditate enough on it, think about it enough. We just read it. You know, we get confused sometimes because people seem like they have faith. They believe in God, and yet they went down. But it couldn't be the faith from the Bible because when you use that, it's God's Word, right? We won't sink. So it says, "For they," that is my words, "bring life to those that find them and healing to the whole body. Guard your heart." Everybody say, "Guard your heart." So in this situation, you know, the heart there is really, really talking about your mind. You know, the context of it. So your mind is a gateway to your spirit. So you gotta focus your attention on the right thing. Think about the right thing, because it determines your outcome in life. Let's go ahead and pray.